Champion players, champion club. Melbourne wins another one.
Yes, it is! Reece Jerry-rigged up her 200 in style.
Full Sam Kerr.
For all your sports news, reviews, and interviews, you listen to the Sports Desk here on Sin.
Good morning. This is the Sports Desk with Liam and Ben. What a great intro. It's the best intro of any show here at Sin.
Well, that's very flattering, Liam. Thank you very much.
Did you edit it yourself?
Yes, I did, actually.
Oh, exactly your voiceover, isn't it?
Yes, it is my voiceover.
Wow. Think very highly of yourself, Ben.
Nah, cheers, Liam. What are we talking about today, mate?
We're going to talk a political word. We're going to go away from the sport. We're going to talk about political. We're going to talk about Donald Trump, Malcolm Turnbull, Xi Jinping.
So this is the political desk.
Yes, it's the political desk now. No, we're going to talk about the AFLW, another big round. I think one grand finalist is set. We're going to talk about the JLT, the second half of JLT, cricket, NBA, soccer, all
you name
sports.
It, everything.
Yes. And any of you want to message us or talk to us about anything sport, message us on 04-475-19170.
And also tweet us at the Sports Desk.
Yes.
Where Liam will be doing running commentary of our show today. But anyway, we'll get stuck into the AFLW. And was another momentous weekend. Started off with the Melbourne Demons defeating my girls, the Brisbane Lions, 34-28. And they are the top two race, other than the Doggies, which we'll get back to later. It is really heating up, isn't it?
Yes. Should they be the Linuses?
Someone will go and say that's not politically correct. They got to have the same name for both teams. They got to be seen as equal. So no, they got to say they got to remain
that's
the
not,
Lions.
That's not correct. It's political correctness here.
Where's Liam gone? He's off the show. Yeah, look, we'll talk about political correctness. I don't know. We could do a whole show filled on that, on our thoughts and opinions, but we'll leave that. So, anyway, the Lions, yeah, they went down 34-28 to the D's, yes, who are starting to hit their straps.
That's after losing two games in a row. And kind of finally, that annoying Chemist Warehouse ad with that kid going, "Excuse me, can I have your autograph?" When you kicked the last goal, that was epic. Even though, and Daisy Pierce has finally kicked two goals. She's kicked three in her entire AFLW career, and none of them has been the last goal. And I've always hated that ad. Because at least choose someone who's a goal kicker. They had Darcy Vassier or something, even last year. Someone who's kicked goals. But not bad. Kicked two goals, 24 touches, led the way as a good captain should. Sabrina Frederick Turob, I think, could be the best player in the comp in the coming years. Especially when she moves to West Coast at the start of the 2020 season.
Mm-hmm.
Big call there by me.
Kicking
the three snags. Couldn't get Brisbane over the line, really, losing 4-10, 34-2, 4-4, 28.
Bit of a comeback at the end.
Yes, which means their game in Collingwood next week is a must-win, as well as, well, Melbourne should beat Carlton, but that Melbourne game against Carlton.
Never know.
Let's head off to the next one, and kind of an upset with GWS absolutely demolishing Fremantle, 6-3-39, the 3-3-21. Courtney Gum, I think, is having an outstanding season. Very underrated, flew under the radar, as well as Alicia Eva for the Giants. Where the best for the Fremantle, you could probably say Dana Hooker and Ebony Antonio.
Dana Hooker's always in the best.
Yes. As well as, I think, as much as you said, two teams, if the Giants can get over the Doggies next week, or Adelaide can get over Fremantle, they're both in the hunt. But I think GWS, they've got to look at themselves. The fact that they just lost to Melbourne in round one, they played abysmal against Carlton in round two, the win against Collingwood, and they should have defeated Adelaide. I think Giants should be kicking themselves if they actually didn't make the grand final. Out of any team who should be in the hunt but aren't, yeah, GWS are probably the best team. Head over to, well, Saturday night, and Carlton again. They're in danger of finishing last after starting the season so promising, losing 8-7-55 to 2-8-20. Ruth Wallace from the Adelaide Crows, phenomenal kicking, 3-1. Mm-hmm. Big news out that game, though. Aaron Phillips injured her quad again.
Not good.
They did say she was just resting her, but, you know, we know what that means. So she might, hopefully she plays, but she might be out for the rest of the season. And she's 32, so maybe could even be her last season.
Oh, she'll be back.
She'll be back. Well, there you go. Heard it here first.
She'll be back. No doubt about that.
As well as Chelsea Mandel's absolutely fantastic. With Erin Phillips pretty much missing most of the season, she has stood up probably the most underrated captain, because everyone knows Erin Phillips as the main player.
Yeah.
But for one, Chelsea Mandel's actually a premiership captain.
Hmm.
She was a matchday captain where Erin Phillips wasn't. Carlton struggled all over the park. They really just...
they can't score.
And again, only Vessio and Taylor Harris both kicked a goal each. But with those two players, we really thought their firing power would be much stronger than what it was. And we go down to the final game of the round. And what looked like a easy win for the Doggies turned out to be a nice, close match at the end.
It was.
Yes. Collingwood coming back in the last quarter to lose 6-5-41 to 7-7-49 down in Moe. Yes.
That Collingwood comeback at the end,
it was good.
It was probably the biggest reason for that was probably they moved Chloe Malloy into the forward line where she is supposed to play. She was the leading goal kicker in the VFL last season. She'd been playing down back for Collingwood the whole AFLW season. They move her forward. She immediately kicks a goal, I think, within like 2 minutes or whatever. And then she could have kicked another a minute later. She was about 10 minutes out. She tried to snap. She missed it. But nevertheless, do you think they should still play her forward for the rest of the season after seeing now that she is capable of producing goals on the AFLW stage as she was at the VFLW stage?
It's always tough when someone plays well in juniors or younger, but I think, yeah, Chloe Moore should play forward, especially now, because I think she's the same height size as Lachlan, who has blown away in the goal-kicking, which we'll get to in a second.
Mm.
But I play her forward. Unfortunately for Collingwood, their Mo Hope plan hasn't worked, and I think they've stopped playing her in the midfield as well, which stopped after one game. But yeah, in the end, really, it was the ball getters for Collingwood, for Bulldogs, Blackburn and Carney, again, wrapped up the possessions. Ali Blackburn kicked a nice goal. She features highly in my votes, which I'll get to on Wednesday. But Doggies have now jumped to first. First, but all they need now is a win against GWS next week to make the grand final. Something took the men's team 52 years to do, heading into 2016. Four wins, one loss, and nice healthy percentage of 176. And that's why I say I think no matter what, unless they get absolutely thumped, grand final should be in their things. Brisbane second, Melbourne third, so all your girls need to do is just win.
Yep. It's only percentage between Brisbane and Melbourne. Only, what is it, like 19.2%.
And what I was saying about GWS before, they've got the same percentage as Melbourne.
Yeah, bang
turn
on.
Turn any of those losses or the draw into a win, and they'll be almost, could be near where Brisbane is.
Yep.
Adelaide as well in the hunt, but I'll count them out with their low percentage. Fremantle's done and dusted. Carlton has absolutely fallen off the map, and Collingwood are looking for... their wooden spoon this year. Before we go to a song, let's quickly get to the goal kicking. And like I said, Brooke Lachlan has blown away, kicking two goals on the weekend now with 11 goals, followed by Jess Worcester and Phoebe McWilliams on 7. Tegan Cunningham on 6 with Ruth Wallace. And the Doggies again, Katie Brennan, Bronny Toogood. So out of the top 6 with the goal kicking, you got 3 Doggies. Shows how dominant they are, and I think the leading possession getters are also Bulldog players.
So do you think at this stage they will win the flag?
I think if Brisbane make it, it's the thing where you lose the grand final the year before, you win it the next year.
Yeah.
I think if Brisbane make the grand final, they'll win.
So what's your grand final matchup at this stage?
At this stage? Oh, every time I pick one, it changes. So I'm going to go... I don't want the original two teams to be in the grand final yet.
I don't think it's going to be. I don't think Adelaide will.
Oh no, I'm talking about Melbourne.
Oh, Bulldogs, yeah, Melbourne, like the original Bulldogs. Two teams. Oh, yeah. Okay.
So the same reason why I didn't want Adelaide to win the grand final last year, because I didn't want the double to happen yet.
Yeah.
Like, the two things I think you've got to work for. You've got to work for the OG teams. Like maybe 10 years down the track, have the two original teams play off in the high package.
Yeah.
But how they started this whole thing to now, and how finally have the first double would be good. So I think Bulldogs, Brisbane.
Yeah.
Sounds like a mouth-watering grand final.
I'll go different. I'll go Bulldogs Melbourne. I'll go for the OG.
Oh, the OGs.
Yeah. Even though I want Brisbane to make it.
And I've got JBS as a dark horse, but
they've been playing extremely well, so we never know about them. We'll start off on Saturday where was the Doggies. We'll do Saturday because
I had Markle and that did the weekend. Yes,
Friday show would have covered that.
Hopefully,
and they did. So anyway, on Saturday it was the Doggies who defeated Hawthorn 15-10, 100 to 11-12, 78. Any standouts there? Any lookouts?
Well, originally it was a close game. It was a close game until the very end. Doggies showed that they could be a good team. What I liked about Doggies was down back Hayden Crozier, who got recruited from Fremantle, and draftee Aaron Norton both did very good down back, racking up a few marks. Who didn't do so good was another pickup. Number two, former number two draftee, Josh Shackey, earned the two touches.
And the one goal?
Yeah. How was he picked two? What made him go pick two? He has showed.
I think he was the leading goal kicker in the TAC Cup season. It might have been the Australian Championships, he might have been the leading goal kicker or something like that. But
he's in the level of Scott Gumbelton as pick two's gone.
I think it's a good decision by us to let him go.
Yeah. Well, you've never seen too fussed.
I was never fussed at all about him going. I was actually not ecstatic, but I was pleasantly happy. So
happy.
I was going to say pleasantly surprised, but yeah, I wasn't surprised because I was expecting it. So yeah, nah. Look, He's showed so many signs as a youngster. I still think his best footy, obviously, is still ahead of him. Just give him some time here in Melbourne, get his mindset right. Obviously, a lot of pressure coming with that pick two and then going into state. So, never know with Shackey, but yeah, the Doggies started to look good. And even Hawthorn are showing some signs as well that they may still be up there in terms of fighting for a final spot.
That good midfield with O'Meara and Mitchell. I think Brian Burton has made a good decision to not go through the midfield just yet. I know that's usually the thing. Play stuff off half-back and go for the midfield. Keeping half-back, I think Burton's going to be an absolute superstar of the competition. James Sicily, I do like, as much as he's a bit of a hothead. He's good across half-back and can kick goals. Charmaker's kicked a few goals as well. I think overall, Hawthorn did play really well. Tim O'Brien, I think, has got a very important season ahead. You know, he's got the covenant number 23 for Hawthorn, big number there.
Mm-hmm.
Showed a bit last year, but hasn't really done what you think. And let's go off to Saturday afternoon and your mob, the Brisbane Lions, took on Sydney Swans. And so you know the goals is the middle, right? So the middle of the goals and outside the middle are the points.
I know that. I'm not sure my team knows that. But yeah, unfortunately.
Absolutely dreadful kicking for.
We got smashed there. 55
three and a half
points.
Quarters, yeah. 5, 10, 40, 2, 4, 11, 95.
Well, look, we got the ball in there. It's just that, and it was the same situation last season. Once we got the ball in there, we couldn't just seem to convert or hit up a target. We just coughed the ball up on that last kick. So it's the same story as last season. But that last quarter showed a lot of more positive signs. We actually moved the ball through the middle, and then actually, like a couple of our goals, we went from one end to one side of the ground to the other side of the ground, so not allowing Sydney's defence to set up. So yeah, and Ben Keyes kicked a couple of goals in that last quarter. So yeah, there's some good signs there in the last quarter, but it is a preseason match.
Number one draft pick, Cam Rayner.
Looked good.
Yeah.
Obviously only had a couple of touches, but those touches, he was kept to the bench for most of the game, so they didn't play him that much, but he just looks like a force out there. I remember he took a mark. I can't remember the Sydney player, whatever. He just gave him a bit of like push and shove, whatever. I love that aggression in him. And he's built like a brick.
Yeah, looks like a bit of a fiery person. Yeah. I'm good to see Stefan Martin get along.
Yeah, Martin, finally.
For someone who's
starting to look back in form.
Someone who's going to leave Brisbane every year. Every year, Martin's thinking about going home.
Going back to Melbourne.
He's going to retire at Brisbane, though. Of course. Squizzy Taylor's done okay. Tom Bell.
That's a story. Because he was phenomenal. I think it was in 2015 for the Blues. And then, obviously, 2016-17, he was hampered by injuries. And a lot of the talk has been around Brisbane has been about Alan Christensen coming back from, obviously, his shoulder. Or no, his collarbone. Broke his collarbone. So, but Tom Bell, on the other hand, he's sort of flown under the radar, and he looked extremely good. And some of his best footy in 2015, he was definitely in the top tier of players for that season. So if he's able to produce that kind of footy, and which it looked like he was going to, he did on the weekend, and he made this season, he could be something that's that proves to be an extremely good pickup by us. And obviously, he's a Queensland boy, so we won't leave. So, yeah, it's Tom Bell. I'm very excited about him. And then, obviously, Matheson as well.
I was about to say beast mode, yes.
Yeah,
the beast mode himself. Over for Sydney, because there is the team that actually won on the weekend.
Yeah.
A lot of hype to the team that didn't win.
Screw Sydney.
Well, you did beat him in the AFLX, so you do have that over him.
Yeah, I know. Why don't they beat us in something that counts?
Yes, exactly.
Something that matters.
Yep. Jakey Lloyd. I think Jakey Lloyd's going to have a breakout season. I always say this. I did say this. Josh Kennedy was the captain you didn't think of until he was announced captain. You're like, yes, that's a perfect choice.
Mm.
When Sydney announced Josh Kennedy captain, I'm like, that is an absolute perfect choice. And Buddy Franklin kicking 4 goals. It's going to be a scary side for the competition.
Tom Papley also looked extremely good up forward. He's just so strong.
He is.
Some of the tackles that we tried to lay on him, he just stood in them. It was just ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he kicked 3 goals, so he was looking good as well. And also Rose with 3.
And I think Sam Reed as well.
Sam Reed, yeah, exactly. He's someone who can... He's had so much potential, and he's just been hampered by injuries. Mm-hmm. So, he looked good, kicking 2. So
before we get to the final match... Freo and West Coast played in the scratch match, so it's like even more unofficial than the JLT. Freo got over 12-14-86 to West Coast 9-3-57. The only reason why I want to mention this is because a standout, Bailey Banfield, a rookie, kicked 2 goals against Adelaide, kicked 3 goals against West Coast. Really made the claim for round 1. And also, the likes of Ballantyne looks like his career could be done. Has struggled in both games, struggled last season. Looks like his career done and dusted. But apart from that, Freo got a good scratch mat and probably the only win for the season.
But some bad news for West Coast.
Yes.
Nathan Vardy going down with a knee injury in a ruck contest. And it looks like West Coast maybe their ruck stocks are limited now. Obviously, Nick Nat, not sure if he's going to play first couple of rounds of the season. Now, Vardy is going to get scans this week. So,
he'll be done for a bit as well.
Yeah, it's not looking too good there, the West Coast and, ruck stocks. But
Josh Kennedy might not also play round 1.
Yeah, so where do you see West Coast finishing up?
Well, West Coast were extremely, extremely lucky to make finals, let alone make the semi-finals.
Yeah, good old shoe in the duck.
I think
Geelong are waiting for him to sign a contract down with them. So
I'm arguing to the death. I think that was a blatant free kick. I think
watching it live, it was a free kick. Hmm. But then when you see the replay and you see him go for the contact,
I feel like he tried to shrug a tackle instead of it.
It's so hard to officiate that. It's ridiculous.
But in
though.
Saying that, he kicked it after the sign in over to extra time.
Oh, you got
to
give him the credit
from like 50 meters out.
Yeah, you give him the credit for that. Hmm. And funny thing is, though, he was actually laughing as well when he was kicking. Remember Isaac Smith for Hawthorn when he laughed?
Smile.
And he missed it, obviously, to the right bit.
Not just did Isaac Smith miss, he also cost Hawthorn the 4-peat.
Yeah, he's the reason.
Yep.
All right, we'll move on to the final match, which was a surprise. Gold Coast defeating the Cats, obviously a very inexperienced Cats side. The Suns won 12-13-85 to 3-11-29.
And I did say this before we went on air. I said, even if Geelong had their big three, I still think Gold Coast would have got the chocolates. I think they played phenomenal. Gold Coast compared to Geelong played very average. And even with the big three in, wouldn't add the score that they needed to defeat Gold Coast.
Do you think it was their attire that cost them the match, Geelong? Because they are wearing
No, it's better
t-shirts.
Than last year. Better than last season.
Better than last season. Oh. Okay.
But Grandin Townsville would have been very humid. But I think just Gold Coast got over better. Might be the new coach to help them out.
Sometimes it's always that. You just need a new voice. And Stewie Dew has been, what is he? He's a level 4 coach. He's only one of a handful of level 4 coaches. He's been backed by the AFL. He's been a very worthy assistant of the Sydney Swans for...
Everything he touches turns to gold. Premiership at Port, premiership at Hawthorn. Everyone remembers that stellar third quarter.
Oh, yeah, against... Who was it playing? Geelong.
Yeah.
Oh, that was incredible.
Went up to Sydney and Sydney won the flag. So, well, I'm not saying Gold Coast win the flag. Let's not be crazy, but they should do better than what people think they will do this year.
Well, where do you think they'll finish?
I've got Gold Coast finishing between 12th and 16th.
12th and 16th.
Mm. Especially with players like Lockie Wales is going to be an absolute pick-up for them.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully players like Will Brody and Ben Ainsworth as well could come up through the end. And the last thing of sport I do want to talk about, it's good news for a lot of teams here. Last year you had Brayshaw signed in 2021, as well as now pick one, Cam Rayner, a few weeks ago. Pick four, Luke Davis Juniaki, and pick 11, Bonar for GWS, all signed into 2021. So good year for the early round draftees re-signing.
A good draft. Do you think this will be a trend that we'll see in future years, where draft selections or early draft picks, they sign a two-year extension?
Well, I think clubs probably do want them to sign, like, very early on. Just helps. But then, granted, I think what for you guys, you've got McCluggage, Berry, and Rayner all coming out of contract in, I think, 2021.
And Witherden as well.
Yeah, so it makes a bit
They'll all sign. We'll have some success, so I'm confident with that. That's ages away, mate. That's 4 years away. We'll be playing finals by then. You heard it here first. Brisbane competing for a premiership in 2021.
Yes, you played one final since 2004, but okay, I back you with this.
We're going to get stuck into some cricket, and Australia are taking on South Africa over there in South Africa, and it was a controversial end to day four. Australia only need the 1 wicket to win, and play was called off due to light. First, it was the Australia being restricted to only bowling spin.
Yes, because of the light.
And then it was called off for light. So we'll go through a quick summary of the day's play. So Australia, they put on 14 runs Pat Cummins hitting a couple of bombs there and then chopping on from Maharaj. So Australia were bowled out for 227, set South Africa a lead of 400-plus runs. And then in that second innings for South Africa, top of the order, Markram, he went on to score a ton, 143 runs. Obviously, Elgar went out cheaply.
And the guy got him out, though. First one, I think 400 days was Mitch Marsh.
Yeah, Mitchell Marsh finally
Future
gets a wicket.
We'll get
back to the way they got that wicket after this. But yeah, early wicket was Elgar, and then Hashim Amla going out to his, Hazelwood taking out his bunny in Amla. I think it's six out of the last seven dismissals for Amla. It has been from Josh Hazelwood against Australia. That has been.
Josh Hazelwood?
Yeah, Hazelwood.
I swear his first name was different. Okay.
For Josh?
It doesn't sound right.
No, it is. It's Josh Hazelwood. Go search it. Search it on Google.
Oh, no.
Liam's just having a bit of a mental blank there. Anyway, AB de Villiers, he was run out quite controversially. There was never a run there. Markram hit it to backward square leg. And, yeah, Warner threw it to line. And he was gone for a duck. He did face the one ball. And he was off strike, so yeah, he was gone for a duck. Faf du Plessis, bowled by Cummins. It was a beautiful ball, taking out the top of off, and off some went cartwheeling backwards. So that was a beautiful sight to see. The Bruin then, he put on a partnership with Markram. He went out for 36, but this was the key partnership that we had to break, and it was between Markram and Quinton de Kock. They put on a 100-plus run stand, and then obviously we were able to break through and get Markram out on 143, which was Mitch Marsh and Tim Payne taking the catch up the stumps, mind you. So no respect there shown for Mitch Marsh. And then that wicket was able to see us knock out Vernon Philander, Keshav Maharaj and Kagiso Rabada very, very cheaply with Mitch Stark on a hat-trick.
And so how disappointing, because I couldn't watch. I only watched it by the website of the app. And I went, I think Nathan Lyon was bowling up Stark. I'm like, yes, Stark's going to come back and he's going to go the hat-trick ball. Then it went Smith. And one, it's never good looking captain's bowl. You usually looks trouble, but it was because he's a spin bowler and Australia don't have many spin bowlers.
Mm-hmm.
Should have got Warner in for a spell. I think Warner's spin as well.
Yeah, Warner can bowl. Yeah, Warner does bowl some leggies, I think. But yeah, we'll talk about this. So why does cricket need to have some common sense? I know they've got all these rules about light and fair play and all that, but obviously, they've cut off the pace because
they could
of
have a spare yellow,
damning light.
Spare white ball somewhere that could just
but like seriously,
roll in.
Like surely, just it's one wicket. I mean, what's the point of coming back on day five for one wicket?
And you can tell, I agree. You can tell South Africa was, I think, the last five overs. There was no runs.
Yeah,
South Africa
Mornay
just wanted to bat out the day.
Yeah, Mornay Morkel, he's on zero off 27 balls. Now he would have been out if we had kept Mitch, if they allowed Mitch Stark to go on. He would have probably got a hat-trick. You never know. So, does common sense need to prevail here?
It does. And how bad, like, everyone remembers Siddle's hat-trick. And apart from the fact that it kind of got ruined a bit because they had the video review.
Yeah, the DRS.
I imagine if Stark has a hat-trick, it's going to be all in the one day and then the last one. It's just not going to look the same.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's the game, you could say the game's over. Unless South Africa looked like they were coming back, which they did for a bit, now they don't. It looks
they're
like game's
not
going
to come back. No chance.
So I think they should have kept on going. And you know, like, the poor people now have to pay money to get into the ground.
Oh, I don't think they will. I think they'll make a free entry.
I hope they do. Do they do that? I'm actually not sure.
They do that here in Australia.
Okay, cool.
So, yeah, they should do that there in South Africa. And the crowd attendance there has been pretty, pretty poor. Yeah.
And if South Africa is one of the best cricket teams in the world.
Yeah. This has been hyped up as the best test series for this year.
Mm.
And South Africa cannot fill a stadium. Not even, like, half fill it.
Very, very disappointing for the South Africans there. But yeah, Australia looks like easily going to run away with it. With help from, again, the future captain in waiting, Mish Marsh. What did you think of that? I think it was Chappell that said Marsh is the next captain. No, sorry, it was Justin Langer.
Yeah, that's right, it was Langer. Yes. I don't know about that. You can... Who is the next captain for Australia? I'm not sure.
Smith's 28.
Smith's going to be a captain for another... 7 years, yeah. 6 years. So I think it's way too early to talk about the next captain. Mm. I think the next captain will be a little bit younger than Mitch Marsh. It'll be one of the youngsters coming through. But anyway, just quickly back to the match. Anyway, in that first innings, the second innings for Australia, it was good to see Cam Bancroft finally score some runs. He was able to score 53.
Yes, under a lot of pressure,
off his 83 balls. So does that knock save him for the whole series, or will he need to produce another knock like this in the second test? Obviously, he was never going to be dropped for the second test.
I think he's safe for the series.
Think he's safe for the series now?
Because it's a best of three, isn't it?
Four.
Best of four. That's odd. I don't like test series being even. They're usually an odd.
Yeah.
But he has to continue knock like this to play the next series, which is, I think it's mid-year or... I think July, I think we play our next
not
test.
Not too sure.
But yeah, I think a good knock like that. He has to make a century, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as an opener, but then saying that, David Warner struggled as well. As much as he's struggled the last few years, David Warner.
Well, he did have he only scored, I think it was a century, was it first or second test against England? It was very early on. And then he had he wasn't able to find many runs for the remainder of the series, and obviously the one-day series and the T20
terrible.
Series, he was just shocking, so... Yeah, Warner, he was out for 28 in the second innings. That first innings, though, he did make 51. But the way he went out in that second innings, I wasn't sure. I'm not sure if you were able to watch it, but it was ridiculous. So, Rabada, he's bowled a rank. It was short. Wasn't, like, really short. But he's pulled it from about waist height, and it's just been caught at mid-on. So, he's gone for the pull. Obviously mishit it and just gone straight into the hands of mid-on. The fielder was a sub, so I'm not sure who it was who caught it, but it's just a ridiculous way to go out, especially when he and Bancroft had put a very good 56-run opening stand for him to do that. So, yeah, I'm not sure about Warner.
One thing I've always noticed about this cricket, and I still don't know why, this is a conversation for another day, though, Asen Agar, I think, he's probably the best test player who's not playing test cricket at the moment.
Who does he replace, though?
Well, that is a good question. This
side is pretty much rock solid.
Especially our bowling order with Lyon, Stark, Cummins, and Hazelwood.
I don't think you can change this unless there's a series where it's like in India on the subcontinent where it's a spinning wicket. Maybe you replace someone like a Cummins or it'd be a Marsh. You'd probably replace like a Mitch Marsh with Agar.
Oh, Mitch Marsh hasn't put a foot wrong at all since he's come back. And we're going to jump straight into the NBA at the moment. The Hawks are playing the Suns. The Hawks are up 110 to 107 with 2 minutes to go in the last quarter or half or term. Whatever, it's a weird country in America. You know what they do and with their sports and I hate?
What?
You know how we have our home team on the left?
Yeah.
They have it the opposite.
Yeah, because they do say, for example, like Phoenix at Atlanta.
Yeah.
So they'll say whoever the team is, they're playing at there. I don't know.
But you look left.
It's interesting.
It's so odd.
Anyway, yeah. So Suns there trailing. There, we'll have a look at the standings so far at this stage of the season. We'll start off with the East, and the Raptors. They are sitting 3 games clear atop the table from the Celtics. The Cavs have lost two. They have only won 2 out of their last 6 matches. So,
I predicted them to fall. I thought it was kind of like the new coaching. That's why they started playing well, and they could easily drop as low as 8. The 8 in the the Eagles look set with the Pistons, I think, on ninth with 29 wins, where the Heat on 33.
Yeah, Pistons are four games behind. And
it looks set. And worst case scenario, the Cavs could drop as low as eighth. And if you don't believe LeBron James is gone by now, he would if they finish eighth.
If they don't win the championship, he's probably going to go. Yeah. I'm not sure. But still, they've shown some good signs with this new team, obviously. They've lost four of their last six matches, obviously, but that's going to come with the new team. Obviously, they did start really well, but these losses are going to happen when you bring in all this new talent and all these new faces, fresh faces into a team. So, still give them time. I still see him finishing the three seed at least. But yeah, because once they hit their straps, it's going to be very, very, very hard to stop them. So, I think just hold your horses on the Cavs. Just give them a couple more and watch them finish the season strong, because I think they still will finish. They will take out the Eastern Conference.
You think they're going to make the finals?
Yep.
I will be very disappointed if that happens, because I like to see new things in their sports. It's lately it's been very, very predetermined with a super team and LeBron. Saying that, 76ers, who won't win the championship this year, are going along quite nicely. Probably now Australia's second favourite team. Or third. You've got people going for LeBron, go for Curry, or go for the 76ers.
I'm on that. I'm on the 76ers. So, yeah, we're doing really well. We're sitting in the sixth seed at the moment, 34 wins and 27 losses, and we are on a two-game winning streak. So, we're starting to hit our straps. Ben Simmons still applying his case, putting his case forward to win the Rookie of the Year. He's had a phenomenal season.
Can't wait to see him play for the Boomers.
Yeah, it's going to be very exciting watching him at the Olympics. Hopefully we finally win a medal.
Yes.
We should win
after
a medal.
After got absolutely robbed against Spain.
That was ridiculous. Oh, I remember that. Oh, well, you never know. We should have made the final.
Yes.
We should have made the final. We shouldn't have been playing for that bronze medal. Anyway, nevertheless, we'll talk about the Boomers.
The Pacers as well. Come on.
The Pacers have been the surprise packet this season.
Paul George left, you thought they'll drop.
Yeah, Victor Oladipo has just had a phenomenal season. He's been extremely good for the Pacers, and it didn't appear that picking up Oladipo was a good pickup for the Pacers. Obviously, he was playing with OKC, but with Russell Westbrook just absolutely dominating that team, Oladipo never really got the chance to showcase his skills. And now, as the main man at the Pacers, he's just been dominating. So yeah, the Pacers are the fifth seed in the West, in the East, sorry, and they are a game clear, the 76ers.
And the biggest rumour going around in the NBA at the moment is that someone said they saw Russell Westbrook smile. And I'm not sure that's true, because he doesn't look like some guy who smiles very often, but someone said they saw him smile. The grumpy old man he is.
Never know with Westbrook. And speaking of Westbrook and the West, we'll move over to the Western Conference, and the Houston Rockets are on a 15-game winning streak. That's right, a 15-game winning streak.
They are looking very hard and to beat at the moment.
Right,
my daily pun is there, everyone. There we go.
So the Rockets, they lead the West. They're a game clear of the Golden State Warriors, who themselves are also on a 5-game winning streak, who lead it from Portland, who are in third, who are on a 6-game winning streak. So a lot of streaks there
and
happening.
And the Spurs, the Pelicans are on a 7-game winning streak.
Yeah, Pelicans on a 7-game winning streak. They're fifth, but the Timberwolves in fourth. So the West is a little bit closer than the Eastern Conference in terms of those final couple of positions.
Top two teams.
Yeah, obviously the top two are set. There's no chance Portland, Minnesota, or New York, any of the teams are going to catch them, because you look from Portland down to, let's go to Utah, there is only a 4-game difference. So Utah are the 10th seed.
And that's because of, their 15-game winning streak? Let's see. We've got the Spurs. Interesting fact, they have to win the next 14 of the last 16 games to win 50 games. And if they don't do that, they've lost the first time in 18 seasons. They haven't won 50 games for a season. That is incredible fact for a team that's been so consistent.
And that'll probably happen. They probably won't win the 50 games. So that's quite remarkable. Anyway, the remaining games for today, we've got Charlotte at Toronto, Indiana at Washington, New Orleans at Dallas, Philly at Milwaukee, which should be a good game, Brooklyn at LA against the Clippers, and then the Knicks at Sacramento. We'll stick to our shores now. The Australian NBL finals are currently taking place. There's two-three-game series going on in the semi-finals. But the first match was on Saturday. So it was on Saturday around 5 o'clock here in Melbourne, and United, one of the most interesting names in Australian sport, defeated the New Zealand Breakers 88-77.
Yes, a good win as well. Because I know last time, I think they went out in straight sets when they, I think 2 years ago when they finished first.
Last year, I think it was.
No, they finished first last year.
Yeah, no, but they went out in straight sets, United.
Let's see. I think it's 2016.
It was last year or the year before. They went out to the Breakers. So it's a good to see United get the win there. They take on the Breakers tonight, in fact, over there in New Zealand in the second game to take out that semi-final series and book in a home final or grand final advantage.
Would be good
here.
I think they're doing best of five again as well in the final.
Are they?
Yeah. I know they did last year and it was pointless because the Wildcats did a clean sweep.
Mm.
But it was a big win, a massive win as well to get over there. As much as I hate the name United, when they're not a soccer club, Melbourne Tigers, it was always the Melbourne Tigers. It was a stupid choice to change the name.
Mm.
But, yeah, got over the Breakers. And Adelaide as well. Not only got over Perth, absolutely smashed Perth. 109-74.
35 points. That's ridiculous. So
they play in Perth, which I think Perth will win in Perth. But they got over them.
Yeah, they play them on Friday.
Yes.
That third match between United and Breakers, if it is required, will be on Saturday. And then the same thing for the 36 and the Wildcats. If that third game is required, they'll be playing Sunday.
Let's look at some interesting... Well, not interesting. In fact, I think I've said this 50 times. So you got 2010, the Wildcats won. 2011, 2013, all the Breakers. 2014, the Wildcats. 15, the Breakers. 16 and 17, the Wildcats. The last team that was not the Wildcats or... the Breakers that win a championship was the South Dragons.
Yes, I didn't even need to look at that.
Who
I
aren't
that.
Even a team anymore.
Oh, I used to go for them.
Really?
Oh, South Dragons, yeah. That's why I can't go for United or I don't know. I can't bring myself to support United because they're the Tigers. We'll talk about which NBL team should come in next, but yeah, the South Dragons, that was 2009, I believe it was. That was our last season in the competition.
Don't even know why they left. We left because...
Administration. Basketball Australia, they handed it over to...
Yeah, I think they kicked out three or four teams.
They handed the comp to Basketball Australia, and we foresaw that it wasn't going to be a good move. And we were right. It actually wasn't a good move. It was only in recent seasons that they've brought it back to the clubs, the power. And now the NBL is booming. Because the NBL had a really dull 2010 to about 15 when it was owned by Basketball Australia.
And they kicked out, I think, Sydney Kings are now back. Brisbane Bullets are now back.
Yeah.
Maybe your team might make a comeback.
Come on, South Dragons, come back.
They thought the Gold Coast was in. I think everyone joined the Gold Coast craze with all these teams joining the Gold Coast. And only two remain.
We'll stick to our Australian accents.
Yeah, mate. So, bloody hell on the A-League, got absolute Melbourne victory. Absolutely smashed the bloody Melbourne City.
2-1.
Troisi
had the chance to make it 3-1 very late. It was time on. He had an open goal, and he's curled the ball on his left foot, started it in the middle of the goals, and quite rightfully so, went away and he missed it. So that was quite a funny moment.
The first goal of the game that was overturned because of the VAR.
Referee. Virtual assistant. Referee, what do you make of that?
I like it. I like it in all sports. Sometimes I think
we just got to use the technology. You have to, but I think there still can be some adjustments. Obviously, it does take a bit of time, so it would be good to see it become quicker.
A good example about that technology uses the bad way was the 2016 grand final with Joe Harrison's goal.
Oh, yeah.
Every angle looked like a goal and they called it a point.
Yeah.
And what if the Doggies went on to lose that grand final? Oh.
And there was another one. Was it like 2010 or 2009? There was a Saints player. I can't remember who it was, but he hit the post.
Oh, he's Tom Hawkins in the 2009 grand final.
There you go. It was Geelong. Yeah. And, so he hit the post, but it was called a goal.
Yeah, and Geelong went on to win the side when they were 6 points in front.
Yeah, and then obviously, Rook kicked the goal on the ground to make it 12, but that could have been
and
the
2011, Dane Beams kicked the goal as well, which hit the point, hit the post as well. So
a lot of
sometimes it's good, other times it's bad.
Yeah. Anyway, back to
the soccer. We'll go down to Saturday before we get to the big game of the round. Brisbane Roar defeated Adelaide United. The top six pretty much set in stone, really. So, and the last one, the big one of the round. Newcastle Jets got over Sydney FC for their second loss of the season, third loss in 2 years, 2-1. Bobo now holds the record for the most goals in the season with 24. So good on him. But yeah, big win. The potential grand final, you'll say it's safe to say the grand final matchup with both teams flying, there's actually still a chance that Newcastle could finish first if Sydney FC drop a few more games. That's how close they actually are with only the four losses.
Yeah, well, they're only 8 points behind, so yeah, it could very well eventuate. Down the table, it's pretty much only, 8 points that separate, or 10 points that separates eighth from third, with City sitting in third and Perth Glory sitting in eighth. So you could still count Perth Glory a chance of making the finals. They only are 4 points away from the Western Sydney Wanderers, and then the Roar, who are sitting in seventh, are only 2 points
and
away
then you
from
had,
Western Sydney.
Central Coast Mariners, Molly Phoenix, who played on a Friday night game last week. Mm. Oh, they've both been the bad, I think the worst teams the last 2 years, to be honest.
I'll leave the show with a question to you, Liam. Is the A-League season too long?
I'd say so. Like, once the footy starts...
Because it feels like the interest is just really, really just wavered.
I know
just...
there'll be a lot of soccer fans out there be like, no, we love our soccer. And once the Melbourne Derby on, you care a bit, you pique your interest. But it's towards the end of the season. The footy season starts, you're more focused on that. You know, the NRL starts this week, I should mention as well. But me and Caleb will talk a bit about the NRL on Wednesday with a big news story about Matthew Lobby, who got into a lot of trouble in America and should not be playing. We'll get to talk about that on Wednesday. But that's all the time we have for on the sport. That's on a beautiful Monday morning.
Yes, it is. Do tune in to Liam and Caleb on Wednesday. They'll be from 9 to 10am, of course. So do like us on Facebook at The Sports Desk, obviously on Twitter at The Sports Desk also. And yeah, on Omni, on any sports podcasting app, you'll be able to access today's shows and all of our other previous shows. So anyway, that wraps up this Monday edition of The Sports Desk. We're going to stick with Ed Sheeran, and we're going to leave you with one of his first-time classics, The A-Team. You've listened to The Sports Desk here on Sin 90.7.